Daniel chapter number 7. Daniel chapter number 7. Aren't you thankful that he came to us? We couldn't get there on our own. We needed someone to be a mediator. We needed someone to come and act on our behalf. And Jesus Christ, he came. Daniel chapter number 7. Here you go, Mr. Humbert.
Thank you.
Daniel chapter number 7. Last week, we began talking about the division that's made in the book of Daniel. The first 6 chapters is more historical. It talks about Daniel the person. It talks about historical events more than prophecy. The next 6 chapters is more about prophecy type things. So we'll spend most of the summer and into the fall looking at these last 6 chapters in the book of Daniel. As I told you from the beginning, this is not something that I am expert at, so I'm learning with you as I go along. I went through and learned it in Bible college and learned this. But as you dive into prophecy, there is so much you can learn and so much you can just gain in knowledge. And so you pray along with me that the Lord will lay upon, give me exactly what I'm supposed to give to the church, and that we get exactly what the Lord wants us to have out of it. Tonight, we're actually going to take a little bit of a step back and give a little bit of a foundation of what's actually on God's prophetic calendar for people that might not know, people that might not be that familiar, and also to be a reminder. And then we're going to show you how in Daniel chapter number 7, you can see where it talks about in this prophetic calendar what's going to happen. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about a review from last week to help you remind you of something. Last week, we talked about the four beasts that were found in Daniel chapter number 7. We talked about how it was taught that we're living during the times of the Gentiles. You say, Pastor, what is the times of the Gentiles? We'll go back even that little bit step farther there. Now, God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. You go even back a step farther, and that area is where Nimrod started with the Tower of Babel, and that was the first philosophy that happened in there, is that idea of we're going to tell God what to do, we're going to push God out of the way. We know where that actually originated from, originated with the devil, way back when, before you remember when he says, I'm going to do this, I will, God says, no, you won't, and he kicks him out of heaven. And then you got down here, you got all the wickedness of man, God sends a flood, and then you got the things that go on with the Tower of Babel, and then before that, and then you got God calling Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And then that same vicinity, that same philosophy is where Babylon originated from, and in that Babylon area is the same type of area. And then when God allowed Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar come to destroy the nation of Israel, what he did was he took away the light from the nation of Israel and began the times of the Gentiles. So where do you get that phrase at? And it's found in Luke 21:24, where it says, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. In times of the Gentiles is the time and days that we live in today. And that's what the vision is referenced to in Daniel chapter number 7. It talks about the 4 different beasts, and those 4 different beasts represent 4 different world empires that have been on the scene. The same vision, but of different instruments that's given to Nebuchadnezzar in chapter number 2, the same interpretation. It's looked at in 2 different ways. Nebuchadnezzar looks at it and says, boy, this is something to praise, this is something to worship. Daniel looks at it and sees the wrath and sees the deviousness of these creatures and how horrible they look, and realizing that it is his nation that is all going to be on the other end of this. And he doesn't look at it as something to be worshipped. Instead, it actually it makes him it says that it is, look in verse number 28, it says, hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. It troubled him in chapter number 7, verse 28. These are not things, when he saw these things troubled him. And it says in verse 15, they grieved his spirit. And these are things that he saw in these visions that God gave him. Now, let's picture it this way. And this is, once again, using your sanctified imagination. Daniel, at this point in time, is a little bit older. He's not this young boy that he was in Daniel chapter number 1. I told you in Daniel, when he was in the lion's den, was not some young boy. He was probably about in the ages of 70 to 80 during that time period. But before that, with Belshazzar, probably somewhere in his 50s to 60s, is where we see that, in verse number 1, in the first year of Belshazzar. So we know this age group here, Daniel is living in what? A pagan culture. And he knows the Bible. He knows what's going to happen. He knows God has promised Abraham that the Jews were supposed to be the light, that Jews were going to have this great kingdom. The Jews were going to be the ones that are going to be, the king is going to come, the Messiah is going to come, he's going to rule and reign forever. And here, Daniel's like, what's going on? Babylon was able to destroy Jerusalem, got rid of the Jews. They were brought into slavery. And then he knows that the Medes and Persians are coming next. And then after that is going to be another empire. And then after that, another empire. So God allows him to see this vision, to see what's going on. And here in this vision, at this time, it was written as prophecy. Now, we know that we're living in this time and period because of what the Bible, it teaches us, and history lines right up with it. And we see here the first beast we talked about last week, and we're not going to go into all of it again, but it gets given into as a reminder. If you were not here, that message should be on the internet where it talks about the beast, goes into a little bit more information about what the different parts of the beast represent. But the lion creature is in reference to the head of gold from the previous vision by Nebuchadnezzar, and that represents the Babylonian Empire. Ten times of the Gentiles came when God allowed the Babylonian Empire to destroy Jerusalem and take on. So now God has taken the light away from Jerusalem, taken the light away from Israel. They've scattered them abroad because of their idol worship and because of the way that they've lived. They've rejected God over and over. And today, now we live in a time of the Gentiles that God works through the Gentiles. Also, yes, he does use the Jewish nation. Once again, the disciples went out to the world, but it was not just to the Jews. Remember the descriptions and the discussions they had in the New Testament that should the Gentiles be able to receive the gospel? Should the Gentiles have to obey to the law of Moses and all those different things? It's because the light was being taken away, and we live in this time period, which was the time of the Gentiles. It is a domination of the Gentile world. The Gentile world dominates the world today. God did not intend that. He saw under King Solomon that the farthest reaching that the Israel nation of Israel had. They were supposed to be the light. This kingdom that came out of nowhere, that was blessed by Abraham and promised to Abraham, Solomon brought it to his greatest heights. But because of Solomon's sin, Solomon also saw it expand, but then we also saw it was divided. And once it was divided, it went downhill after that. So here we live in the time of the Gentiles, and you say, well, you keep on saying time of Gentiles. Well, there's four kingdoms, four world-known empires that we know of. The first one we looked at was the Babylonian Empire. We looked about Nebuchadnezzar, and we looked about that at length in the first six chapters. The next one that comes on the scene you see here is the bear that's represented in this vision, and it's the breast and the arms of silver in Nebuchadnezzar vision, and this was the Medo-Persian Empire. This is one that came in, took over out Belshazzar that night. Remember, he talked about how they diverted the waterways and they went into the waterways underneath the great city of Babylon and captured the great city of Babylon. And then we saw the next creature in this chapter number 7 was this leopard-like creature, which represented by the belly and thighs of brass, which was the Greek Empire, Alexander the Great. And we talked about the differences there. And then the last one was, which was a beast that was undescribable. It was so fierce. And you look what it says in verse number 7, in chapter number 7. It says, and after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now remember that first vision of Nebuchadnezzar had was the legs of iron. This represents the Roman Empire. Then it had the 10 toes, which represents a future empire that we're going to talk a little bit about as the weeks go along. And that's where it's represented by the 10 horns. In verse number 8 says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. We learned a little bit about that last week, being the Antichrist, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And this is talking about the great blasphemy that this Antichrist will have to the one true God. Now, this is an indescribable beast. The other ones, he said, look kind of like a lion. The other one looked like a bear. The other one looked like a leopard and had other type of things that would describe it and make it unique. But here it says they can't find anything in the books that describes it. And that talks about how fierce it is. And that's why this empire is set apart from the rest. It's the Roman Empire. And we learn, history teaches us, that no one conquered the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire fizzled out. And for that next 300 to 400 years, many times these nations would rise up to protect themselves, and the nation and the Roman Empire, what it would do, it would retreat, and it would end up just being in the time and day that we live in. There is no great one world empire, but no one ever defeated the Roman Empire. And someday, when the Antichrist comes back on the scene, it is going to revive the thoughts and the philosophy of the Roman Empire. Doesn't mean that it has to be the specific Roman people, but it's talking about the thoughts and the philosophies of the Roman empires, the way they think, And that's when the 10 kingdoms will come together and will worship and work together with the Antichrist. Now, that's a lot of things to think about, a lot of things that be understanding, but we'll learn it one step at a time. But that's what we looked about last week. And this week, we're going to look here in verses 9 through 14. And when we look through verses 9 through 14, I want you to leave with this one thought in your mind. I want you to take this home, and I want you to live at peace with this, as God has a plan. We're talking about that in Sunday school over and over. God's got something he's doing. God's got a work he's doing. We learned in this, and this is what prophecy teaches us. If they knew about the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, and the Medo-Persian Empire before it ever came along, we can trust in God's plan. Even though Daniel, a godly man living for God in a pagan culture, is living many times as a slave, away from his nation, away from the priest, away from... But he's learning these things, and we learn from Daniel's life as Christian's life is not always going to be easy. Even though we have religious freedom here today, go over to China, they have no religious freedom. Go over to other places where there's oppression to the world, to the Christian. That is something that's going on. So I want you to understand that when things happen here in America, like the Supreme Court decision today about the gay marriage and things like that. You know, I had somebody talk to somebody today, says, so what's that going to mean for America? I mean, what are we going to do? I says, we're going to keep on trusting God. We're going to keep on having faith in God. And even though it might be coming to a place in America that we cannot worship free like we choose to do, it might mean that we had to worship and continue to worship and just keep on believing and trusting in God, no matter what anyone says, even if it might cost us some freedoms or cost of our lives some days. We're going to keep on believing and keep on trusting. Pastor, that's a long way. You don't know what's going to happen. And Daniel here, and he's having to live for God in the pagan culture. Amen. And what we need to teach our kids and our grandkids and our great grandkids someday is God's got a plan. Amen. You don't need to be worried about everything that's going on. Does that mean we lay over and don't fight? No, we keep on fighting for our religious freedoms. We keep on doing what's right. We keep on living for God. We keep on praying for revival. We keep on seeking God's face. We keep on doing everything we can to serve God. But we need to teach the next generation. We need to teach ourselves to have faith in God's plan. God knows exactly what's going on. And what we're going to learn tonight is, in God's plan, God's going to be the one who wins. Amen. We read the book. We know in the end God wins. We know in the end that it's going to be, that kingdom is going to be established and it's going to last forever and it's going to be forever and ever and ever. You know, the Greek Empire is gone. The Medo-Persian Empire is gone. The philosophies of the Babylonian Empire might still be here, but you go to Babylon today, it's not there. They might have dug up some different things recently, and they might have looked and found some things which made us agree with the Bible. You know, they never even heard about Belshazzar except for the Bible, and they even said, well, that guy never even existed. But just recently, they've dug up things and found out the references to it that we know the Bible is true. Amen. And even though the Roman Empire, we live under maybe the same thought process of the Roman Empire, someday the Antichrist is going to bring about the Roman Empire again, we know God wins in the end, and that's what we can be thankful for. God does have a plan here. Let's look here, and we could spend all night talking about that. But let's go ahead and look here in Daniel chapter 9. Now look at verses 1 through 14 tonight. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 14. It says, I beheld, once again, who is talking here? It's Daniel talking about his visions. I beheld, Daniel chapter 7, verse number 9, excuse me. 7 verses number 9, I don't know what I told you. I beheld, you can take that out, Bruce, okay? When I made a mistake there, you can take that off. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Once again, Daniel's talking about his visions here. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, chapter 7, verse number 9, and the Ancient of Days sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the Ancient of Days tonight. We're going to look at that maybe next week or the week after that. But Daniel sees on this throne, remember, what has he already seen? He's seen these four beasts come up, these four thrones, these four kingdoms, and it says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. He saw in his vision, and these empires have ceased. When do we see this? It's when the Ancient of Days that sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, the wheels as burning fire. Verse number 10, chapter number 7, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And we're going to look here in a little while what that's talking about. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. Now, who is the horn? It's that little horn that we saw in verse number 8, the one that spoke great blasphemies towards God. And he is the Antichrist. The great horns, with the horn spake, great words which the horn spoke, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. So what it's saying here is he watched this guy talk his blasphemies toward God until the day he was slain, until the day he was cast into the burning flame. That's the lake of fire. That means once he's cast in there, it's done. He's done with. It's over. It's forever in there. And that's what it's referring to, is that this great Antichrist, this great world leader that we're going to talk about in a little while, he is going to have an end. He is not, his kingdom is different than Christ's kingdom. His kingdom lasts for 7 years. Christ's kingdom is forever. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. It's referring to the philosophies that were continued to be allowed during the tribulation period. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Amen. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. Ask the Lord to help us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come to your house. Lord, as we look at this prophecy and we look at these things about the future events, Lord, we can be excited to know who's going to win in the end. We can be excited to know, Lord, we serve the God whose kingdom is going to be lasting forever and ever and ever. And Lord, even though there will be those who rise up that speak against the cause of Christ, who speak great blasphemies, ones who will fight against the cause of Christ, it is only for a time. It is only during this time, Lord, that you allow this to happen. And that someday you will call your church home. And Lord, that will begin this great tribulation, which will set the scene for you coming back. Lord, speak to people's hearts tonight. Lord, help us to leave saying, I know God has a plan, and I can have faith in this plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we get to these five verses, and I don't know how much we're going to get to them tonight, I'd like to go back and take a step back and put you a little bit of a calendar. These are five different R's that's going to happen. You can write these down because we're going to allude to them as time goes along. If you want to write them down, you don't have to, but it gives you a calendar here of what's going to happen. The next thing on God's prophetic calendar is what we have come to know as the rapture. Take your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and we're going to turn a little bit in our Bible tonight. Keep your finger in Daniel chapter number 7, but if you'd like to turn with us, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The first thing that's going to happen on God's prophetic calendar, the first thing to happen is going to be the rapture. You say, Pastor, what is the rapture? The rapture is when Jesus Christ calls his church home. You say, what do you mean? It means that there will be a day and time when God said it's time to call, go get your bride, go get your children, and God's children, and he will call his church out of this world. Where do you see that found in the Bible? It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We're going to look here in verses 13 and 18. It says, Paul is writing to his church at Thessalonica that these were young Christians. They were sold out for God. They were wanting, but people had taught them false things. They were confused. So Paul says in verse number 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. They were worried about their loved ones had gone on to death. We don't want you to be ignorant towards this, brethren. He doesn't want the church to be ignorant about it. I don't want you to be ignorant, which means unknowing about this. Verse number 14, and here it is. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So it's saying, hey, look, if you believe and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in his plan, he's saying that God will take care of them which have gone on beforehand, and that someday he will call them up. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So if for some reason I pass away before Mr. Mark does, which he's 10, 20 years younger than I am, so he probably will. I'll probably live a little bit. He'll probably live longer than me. What the Bible is saying here is just because he is alive, this is not going to stop. When the church, when Christ calls the church home, his being alive is not going to prevent me being able, my body being able called up. So it's something very simple. That's just a very teaching here. This is what the rapture is that Christ will call his church home, whether someone who has died or whether still alive. Where do you see that at? It's found here in verse number 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So if I die, that means I get to go first. So isn't that wonderful? And it says, then we which are alive and remain, referring to those that are believers, his church today that's still alive, remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Here's the exciting part is, you know, you talk about people who've lost loved ones, people who have gone on before. You know, the Bible says that they'll be together with the Lord, and it's forever. And we're supposed to use these words to comfort one another. We at the funeral service today, the guy had mentioned hope, and that hope that was believed in was the hope that we have here, is that someday we'll be with our loved ones that are believers too. But you say, what is this? Is the rapture? And you say, Pastor, this is pretty basic. I know it's basic for some, maybe not basic for all, so we want to make sure we cover all the bases. So the first thing that this next thing that's going to happen is in this prophetic calendar is the rapture. We're living in the times of the Gentiles right now. We're living under the fizzled out Roman Empire. And someday that Roman Empire, at least the philosophies and the thinking, is going to be revived. And there's going to be this great world empire once again that will be led by the Antichrist. But Christ will call his church home first. In Revelation chapter 4, it talks about the rapture also. We won't go there. But I want you to take your Bibles now and go to Revelation chapter number 5. Revelation chapter number 5. The book of Daniel and the book of Revelations kind of go hand in hand. There's a little bit of a mirror there to help interpret one another. In Revelation chapter 5, what you have is what's going on here. Is this will be during the time of ruin. The first one was the rapture. The second one is ruin. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by ruin? Well, when we get called home, what will happen then is what's something that's called the Great Tribulation, which is a seven-year period. And during that seven-year period, the wrath of God will be poured out into this unregenerate, unrepentive earth to all the people that are there. During this seven-year tribulation is when the Antichrist will come on the scene, and he will have the answers for all the world's problems. And he will have the answers and convince the world that he is the man that will lead them from there on. He even, as somehow, in some way, gets the Arabs and the Jews to agree, and they build the temple once again. And then after 3.5 years of this tribulation period, this Antichrist will sit on the throne of David and declare himself to be God. And then at that point in time, he will turn his back on Israel and begin to try to attack Israel and try to annihilate and get rid of Israel altogether. But the ruin that's involved there is found in Revelation chapter 6 through 18. Revelation 6 through 18 describes a ruin. You think hurricanes are bad. You think tornadoes are bad. You think the things that are going on in the world today are pretty rough. You read chapter 6 through 18, and you'll have trouble sleeping if you get what's really going on there. There are some fierce things, but you know what? If you're a Christian, you don't have to be a part of it. You don't have to worry about that. You don't need to take sleeping pills. You don't need to go to the psychiatrist. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you won't be here during this time. He said, well, I don't want my family to be there. Well, tell them about the gospel now. Get it started, because when Christ calls his church home, it's going to be the beginning of this ruin time, this tribulation time, where the wrath of God's poured out on this unrepentant world. Chapter number 5 here, it talks about what's going on here. It talks about the beginning of the judgments and beginning of the books being open. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. I don't think we're going to read that right now for right the sake of time. So we see the ruin there. Chapter number, the third thing is we have the rapture, we have the ruin, which is a great tribulation period, and then we have the return of Jesus Christ. That's the third thing that will be happening. Now, there's things going on during the great tribulation period with the believers, but that's not what we're focusing on now. In the book of Daniel, it talks about this great tribulation period. Let's go back to Daniel chapter number 7. Hopefully you kept your fingers there, Daniel chapter number 7. Daniel chapter number 7, verses 21 and 22, the Bible says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So what we have here is, who is the horn again? Anybody know who the little horn is? The Antichrist. You got it. I don't mind if you answer that. I know I don't do that very often, but I wouldn't mind that. It's the Antichrist. So we see here in verse 21, I beheld, and the horn made war with the saints. After the first 3.5 years of peace, this is what the Antichrist will do. It will take to begin to attack the Jews and prevailed against them. So he starts winning. God's going to protect them, but it's going to be a fierce battle there. In verse number 22, he was prevailing until when? It says, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and a time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So this is what it means. First is the rapture. The second is the ruin, which is the great tribulation period. Then we see the return of Christ. When this Antichrist turns his back from the peaceful thoughts and begins to attack the nation of Israel, and it begins to push them into the sea, almost into the sea, to the spot where they almost are completely destroyed, that's when Jesus Christ will come back with us, the New Testament believers, and will judge and will conquer the Antichrist and the kingdom that has been set up at the end of the 7 years. That's what the return of Christ is. And we see here, we're going to talk a little bit about that because it refers to this here. And you see here in verse number 4, in verse number 13, chapter number 7, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of the heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. It's referring to him coming back. And here, okay, let's keep on going there. So we got the rapture, we got the ruin, we got the return, then we had the reign. We had the reign. In verse number 14, you had the reign of Christ. It says, and there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So we have the reign of Christ. This is a 1,000-year reign. You say, Pastor, it says it's forever and everlasting. Yes, it will last forever, but it's kind of like a preview of the reign. The first 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan has been put in the abyss. Satan will be allowed to come out. During this 1,000 years, people will be living, people will be having children, they'll be experiencing just life normal, but it'll be the millennial reign of peace. It will be completely different than the reign of the Antichrist, completely different from the other four world empires, and it'll be completely different here. But Satan will come out of the abyss for one short time, he'll be unleashed, he will gather a great army once again, and they'll attack Christ, but during the reign of Christ, then he will put it down forever, but his reign will last forever, because this will not change anything. The devil will be loose for a season. He goes out and gets a bunch of people who want to rebel against God, and then they have the great white throne judgment. And then last but not least, you have the rapture, you have ruin, you have the return, you have the reign, then you have the restoration. The restoration. And that's referring to the fact of what's going to happen to this world. The earth's going to be purged. It's actually going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to burn. And it's going to be purified here in Revelation chapter 21. If you'd like to take your Bibles and look in Revelation chapter 21, you can. It's verses 1 through 4, talks about the restoration. So we see on God's prophetic calendar, you have the rapture, the homegoing of the church. You have the ruin, the great tribulation. You have the return of Christ that we see in the clouds, we'll talk about in a little bit. You have the reign of Christ, which talks about the 1,000-year millennial reign. And then you have the restoration. The restoration. What's going to happen to this world? After millennial reign, after Satan is cast into the lake of fire forever, once again in chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Isn't that wonderful? We messed up on the first earth, and he's going to give us a new one. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and heard a great voice out of heaven, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and they be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So what he's going to do is restore it into the way he had originally intended it to be. No more sorrow, no more pain. You're going to see, I'm not telling you it's going to be exactly like the Garden of Eden, because it's going to be different in the fact there's a new Jerusalem, but he's restoring the earth, or at least bringing back what he originally planned it to be. The time of testing is done for man. We're in our glorified bodies, or in our glorified time. What are we going to do during this time? You know, I don't know what God's going to do, but we know that what's going to happen, he's going to restore this world to its former beauty and to its former way it used to be. And I think it's going to be wonderful. So when you see in the prophetic calendar here, you see a rapture, you see a ruin, you see a return, you see the rain, and then you see the restoration. Okay, let's get back to Daniel chapter 7 for a few minutes. I want to put those five things in there because we're going to talk about those as time goes along. Daniel chapter 7, there's a few things I'd like for you to look at tonight, and we'll close up. Daniel chapter number 7, first of all, I want you to see the returning of Jesus Christ. The returning of Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter number 7 refers to the return. We told you those five R's. Let's look at the return for a second. Look in verse number 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Here in Daniel chapter number 7, it's referring to the returning of Jesus Christ. This is not the only place that it's mentioned in the Bible. Think about what it says in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, you'll remember that Jesus was on trial. And when Jesus was on trial, they kept on trying to find something to find him guilty with. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 60 through 65, but Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest us whether thou be the Christ, Son of God. So what happens here, you remember that time, they were trying to find somebody, no one would be able to accuse him. It finally paid false accusers who came together and agree with this, but they couldn't even agree on something that was worthy of death. So the high priest adjures the living God and says, hey, tell me, are you the Son of God? Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? And this is what Jesus says. He says to him, Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. You see what it says in Daniel chapter number 7. He is quoting from Daniel chapter number 7 what is referring to in chapter 7 and verse number 13 when it says that one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. You know, it's referring there what is coming on and what is happening and that Jesus Christ is coming back. Not only does it say it there in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7, it says, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of earth shall wail because of him. It's referring to the day that Jesus is coming back. Now, once again, the Bible says it over and over. It's in reference to what's going to happen. It has not happened. It will not happen until after the rapture. It will not happen until the great tribulation. But if you want to know what prophecy says, it's repeated here over and over. Take your Bible now in Daniel chapter number 2. In Daniel chapter number 2, remember we went back to we talked about the great statue that was there and talked about the fierceness of the four kingdoms even back there. In Daniel chapter number 2, verses 44 and 45, it says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Whose kingdom is that? That's Christ's kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, because even though Satan's going to attack it, it will not be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse number 45, for as such as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So what the Bible is saying here, this is what it's talking about, is Jesus Christ. When he comes in Daniel chapter number 7, is when he's coming in the clouds. This is him that's cut out, the stone that's made without hands, and it's going to come and it's going to crush these other kingdoms. What does that mean, Pastor? It means we have hope. It means that, yes, there was this great empire here, and there was this great Babylonian empire, but it's not there anymore. It's gone. And then you have the great Medo-Persian empire. It's not there anymore. It's gone. The Greek empire, it's in history, but it's not here today. And then the Roman empire that we live in, the physical Roman empire, it's going to be revived, but it's not going to last. That God himself, Jesus Christ, is going to come back and going to stamp it out. And then there will be one kingdom that will last forever and ever and ever and will never end. And that's Jesus Christ's kingdom. God has a plan. And when we get news like we got today about this, about the gay marriage, or when we get news and we get things going on in the world that we live in today where it seems like Christianity is under attack, seems like everything's going haywire, the world is going crazy, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to believe and trust in God because, you know what? The kingdom's going to come. This is not going to end. Just as much as there was a Roman Empire, just as much as there was a Greek Empire, just as much as there was a Medo-Persian Empire, just as much as there was a Babylonian Empire, there is also going to be Christ's empire and kingdom someday. And his reign is something that is worthy of worship and worthy of praise. And next week, we're going to look at that rain a little while. We're out of time for tonight. But we're going to go to Revelation chapter 5 next week and see why Christ is the one that can reign over all of us, and why Christ has dominion, and why Christ has the right to reign over us. And it's not going to be a democracy when Jesus Christ comes. It's going to be a dictatorship, because Jesus Christ is the one that will reign and reign forever and ever. He's not going to really care about other people's opinions. He's going to care only about righteousness. He's going to only care about truth. He's not going to care about all this other stuff. He's not going to care about pleasing people. He's not going to be worried about scratching the other side's back and reaching across the aisle. He's just going to be doing what was right and what is just for 1,000 years. And we say amen to that, but you know what? Sometimes we don't live like that's the way we want it today. We need to say, you know what? God's kingdom is coming. Nothing has been able to stop it. Nothing will be able to stop it. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and he's going to look pretty high and powerful for 7 years. The Bible says he's going to use lies and wonders and tricks to deceive the people. It says, no one's ever going to believe any of that stuff. If they can swallow some of the stuff that they're feeding you today, they're definitely going to believe that stuff later on. I mean, some of the stuff that's going on today, if they can swallow that stuff and believe that stuff and parrot it back and think, hey, they're going to be able to believe pretty much anything. And that's what the world is being set up on this scene. It's coming on the scene, and we don't know when it's going to happen, but we know it is going to happen. First question is, are you ready? You don't want to be left behind. You don't want to be left behind. Are you saved? Are you on the way to heaven? When Christ calls the church home, are you going to be hearing that trumpet sound? Are you going to be spending eternity in heaven? Are you going to be there? You need to make sure you got that settled. And are you living for that future kingdom? You know what? The things that we put so much time and so much effort into conserving here on this world, building, acquiring, it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn someday. I'm not talking about you can live comfortably with your family. I get that. Nothing wrong with having nice things and good things. I agree with that. I can appreciate that. I enjoy that myself. But we should not put our thoughts and our focus on that. It should be the future kingdom. We should be looking forward to what Christ is going to do someday. And you know what? This world is going to burn. It's going to go away. I love the illustration of the junkyards. Isn't it great? When you see those junkyards, you see all those piles and piles of cars. At some point in time in someone's life, that car was somebody's apple of their eye. They thought it was the greatest thing in the world. They thought they were going to keep it shined and washed and waxed. And man, they were sporting it up high when they were riding by there. But today, you know what it is? It's a piece of junk. Nobody wants it. They've cast it away. You know, that's what's going to happen with this world and the things that we have, the things that we lay up here on earth. Someday they're just going to be somebody else's junk, and they're just going to cast it away. And if not, someday it's going to burn. And let's not put our hopes on that. Yes, where's our hope should be found at? Is that Jesus Christ is going to reign. Even though we don't see how in the world any of this can ever come about good, we can go and listen to what it says in Daniel chapter number 7, and it says that he came and he was able to knock it all out. It was all gone. That stone was able to come and crush it all down. And that's what Jesus Christ will do someday. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. First of all, are you ready? Secondly, are you living like you're ready for it? Let's go ahead and pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's go ahead and raise to our feet for a time.